Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Some of you might have heard that I grew up in Africa as well, in the southern parts of numerous countries in Africa. And so I thought I'd start today with an example from a South African brain specialist. All right, there was supposed to be a picture up on there, and it is a picture of various colored trees. So I'm going to have to allow you to use your imagination here today. But I want to start by saying that God is absolutely amazing. Hasn't He created us incredibly? I want to talk a little bit about that from scientists who are only now starting to understand a little bit of how God has created us. Now, this scientist's name is Caroline Leaf, and she's a brain specialist. And, of course, they've looked at the brain, how it functions, the mind, how the thoughts work. And they have found out that, in fact, the nerve cells, there are nerve cells, neurons, that, in fact, look like trees. So in the brochure you actually saw, I think it's in there, or in fact the email that was sent out, there was the first page of the presentation was in there, and it has a picture of a person's head with a tree coming out of it. So in fact they found that the brain, the thoughts in the brain actually form these trees in our brain, physically in our brains. And each of these thoughts is one of those nerves, one of those neurocells. And there are branches that branch off the tree. And those branches are, in fact, all the emotions, feelings, and other information that are collected around that specific thought. Now, to get some perspective on this, they say that there are about 100 billion neurons in the brain. That's about 20% of the brain. 100 billion neurons. So that's 100 billion thought trees in our minds. And each tree can grow up to 200,000 branches. That's about 3 million years of space in our brains. No wonder the computer specialists are having problems. And our subconscious, our non-conscious mind, in fact, works 24/7. And they say it works at about 400 billion actions per second, even when you're sleeping. The conscious mind actually only works when it's awake and at about 2,000 actions per second. And in fact, our conscious mind is controlled by what is in our subconscious. Now, scientists only know about 8% of what's going on, but they are starting to understand a little bit more. So I'm going to paint a picture for you. There are two types of trees that grow in our brains. Now, this is physically in our brains. The first one is a tree. Now, picture, if you've ever seen a forest fire, the fire that has burned through that, it has completely devoured every leaf, everything in it, and what is left is a tree that is burnt, smoldering, and incredibly ugly. It is death. That is what some of the trees look like in our brain. Those are trees they have figured that are based on fear. When you have a thought of fear and you feed it, it builds this kind of tree. The other type of tree is a tree of the picture that you saw that I sent out. Is actually a luscious, beautiful tree. If you imagine a tree that is strong, filled with green leaves, bearing fruit, incredibly beautiful, those, the scientists are saying, are thoughts that are based on love. And who is love? God is love. And so these scientists, even though some of them are not Christians, all emphatically believe that we are wired for love. Isn't that amazing? even those who don't believe in God. And so I'm going to go on to today's scripture, if we at least have today's scripture that we had before. And I'm going to read that again. Let's see how Apostle Paul, now this is over 2,000 years ago, addressed the issue that scientists are only beginning to understand now. And he says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, I'm going to try and take you through some of those scriptures. So whoever's showing it, if you can make sure that related scripture at least is there. So I can walk you through this. It would have been easier if we had some of those slides. But I'm going to walk you through this. The first thing that we can see in this scripture is, in fact, the truth about there is a battle. We cannot deny that. There is a battle, and it's going on in our minds. And the nature of that battle, we can see through different scriptures. We can see, for example, the nature of the battle here in verses 3 and 4. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Notice there that this battle that is going on in our mind is not a battle of the world. It is not something that the world does. We battle with arguments. We battle with knives and guns and bombs and missiles. This is not the battle that is being talked about. And the second scripture there is from Ephesians 6, and I'll read this to you. Apostle Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Again, he reiterates, and this is the part when he talks about the armor of God. And before that, he said that our battle is not in the flesh. So don't battle in the flesh. It'll get you nowhere. It is a battle against spiritual forces of evil. And we'll see in Apostle's words that the mind is very much where this battle happens. Further, we look at the enemy's strategy through what we read there. And we see that this was quoted from 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 11, he goes on to say, he says, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." And also in Colossians 2:8, Apostle Paul warns, and he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Apostle Paul in his days, you'll see, if you go through his epistles and his writings, he mentions again and again and again the issue of false teachers, false teachings, false things that are causing us to stray. And he wrote about this time and time again. Now, in Satan's strategy, what he's trying to do in these verses you can see is build strongholds. And if you have the verse there that speaks about the strongholds in verse 4 and 5, he talks about strongholds there. The last word, he says, "We demolish strongholds." Then he says, what are these strongholds? And he describes the strongholds. And he says, these strongholds... in the first line that you've got up on your screen, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold, he used this word stronghold. Stronghold here is actually a term that was used for war. A stronghold was like a fortress somewhere that they could protect, be protected, somewhere, in fact, that they could shoot arrows from the top of the walls. Now, Satan builds these strongholds. And these strongholds he has placed to then shoot arrows of deception into our minds. Now, there are different types of strongholds that I'm going to talk about. Just to give you some examples of what those strongholds look like. Now, Satan, he tries to cause us to have these strongholds, and those strongholds will show what it actually looks like. The first one would be a stronghold against faith. And you'll see that this stronghold of faith wants to turn our eyes away from Jesus and not have us believe in Jesus. And one of those examples that you can do is, has this ever occurred to you in your mind? God could never love me. Have you ever thought that? When you go wrong and you stray and you say, God could never love me. Or another one that many times we are faced with, when something happens that we don't like, and we say, if I was God, I would never have done it that way. Have ever you gone that way, thought about that and said, why did you do that, God? I would never have done it that way. That is a stronghold against faith, where the enemy does not want us focused on Jesus. He wants us to go against God and our faith in God. The second part of these strongholds is a stronghold that is against obedience. First one is in our faith, and the next is in our obedience. There are things like bitterness and unforgiveness. When we do not be obedient to God's word in saying forgive, what happens? There's a stronghold of bitterness that builds up in our hearts and in our minds. Not to forgive is disobedient, but it also has its consequences. And the worst of those is stubbornness, is some people don't even know they have a stronghold. And these are some of the worst. Other people can see it, but the person themselves cannot see that they have a stronghold that actually goes against God. Now in here you'll see that a stronghold is described as an argument or every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. These are like assumptions. These are things that are false, that raise themselves up higher than God and place them in a place that is higher than God and goes completely against the word of God, the knowledge of God. I'll give you another example to help illustrate this. I used to be an alcoholic. Praise be to God, I am no more. But I'll give you an example of an alcoholic. We think of it, obviously, to drink alcohol is not forbidden. However, it says, do not be drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because drunkenness is debauchery. It'll lead to debauchery. But if I'm an alcoholic and I am actually thinking about when I get off work, I've got to go home. And when I go home, I need to buy some milk or some cereal for tomorrow morning because I don't have any. But I know that there's a small little shop in the same complex that I'm living in that has that milk, and I can buy it there easily. I have a choice there. Now, I also have a great supermarket that I have to drive a long way away, and that supermarket also has milk. But in that supermarket, there is also alcohol. And so I have a choice after work, and I decide, I say, well, I'm going to go home. But the easiest way is just to go straight home and just buy it next door, and very convenient. But my mind starts to say, well, hey, why don't we take a scenic route? Let's have a drive. I feel like going for a drive today, so I'm going to take the long road. And of course, I go off on the long road and I'm driving along and I drive by, hey, oh, the supermarket here. Hey, I think I'll buy my milk here instead. So I get and I park and I go into the supermarket and I go into the supermarket and I say, you know, and the milk section is right over there and the alcohol section is over there. And I say, well, I'm just going to wander along the aisles and I'll go and get my milk later. And so I wander towards the alcohol section and just, yeah, and I walk past it and I say, yeah, I'm just going to have a look and then I'm going to walk past. And then it becomes, yeah, I'm just going to pick it up and feel that bottle and have a look at it. And then, no, I'm going to put it back. And then it goes, no, it's okay. Actually, I'm going to take it along with the milk and I'm going to go to the counter. I'm not going to pay for it. And of course, I get to the pay. I say, no, I'm going to take it home, but I'm not going to drink it. And I get home and I say, no, I'm going to put it on the shelf, just for display. I'm not, just a reminder that I can't tempt me. And the next thing, before I know it, glug, 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 I finish that bottle and I am completely and utterly drunk. Do you like having these strongholds in your mind? These strongholds have been proven that they actually look like toxic trees in our minds. And the scientists that have shown this, they have shown that every time your thought and conscious mind thinks of something related to the subconscious, and your mind jumps to that ugly, toxic tree is what they call them. You know it. Let me give you an example. If you really hate someone, that guy or that gal, and you haven't forgiven them, there's a toxic tree. There's a stronghold in your mind. Now you bring that person to your mind. Now maybe some of you are actually bringing that person to your mind right now. And suddenly your body, you get this gut feeling. You suddenly feel something. Your heart stops. It kind of like, something happens in your body and you know it. Well, the doctors have said that when you feed upon that thought, what happens is your brain in the back here secretes hormones. It secretes hormones into your body in such a disbalance that it creates disharmony within your body. And this is one of the main reasons why many of us are sick. That they have led a lot of illnesses and diseases, in fact, to our thought. These toxic trees are, in fact, deadly to our body, as the scientists have proved. And so I ask you, is there hope? I've already got a lot of these toxic trees in my mind. What are these scientists saying? Is there actual hope? Yes, there is hope. In the scripture we learned, it says that we've been given weapons. Yeah? We've been given weapons to fight this. Now, what do those weapons look like? Well, firstly, in that verse, if we can bring it up there, it says the weapons we fight with are what? They are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So the first thing we need to understand is we have weapons. What are those weapons? They are weapons that are divine. In other words, the source of these weapons is God Himself. Secondly, in that same verse, we see that those weapons have divine power. They are powerful. They're godly powerful. These are not lousy weapons. They are God's weapons. Now, it's difficult for us to picture. Well, I can't picture it. It's nothing of this world. So what do these weapons actually look like? Well, if you looked at Ephesians 6, when Apostle Paul talked about the armor of God, you would get a very good picture of, in fact, the protective armor that we have. And it would be good for you to review that again, maybe tonight or sometime during the week. I'm going to give some examples that help you understand what our true weapons against Satan's strongholds are, against these toxic thoughts in our minds. And the first one here is faith. Why do I say faith? It's because everything begins with faith. So those of you who are not Christians here today, It starts with faith in Jesus Christ. We have victory in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:5 says, "Who is it that overcomes the world?" And he answers the question and he says, "Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." It starts with faith and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. What a great weapon. Another weapon would be hope. Hope is really joyful and confident expectation in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus comes again, we call it the blessed hope. It is a blessed hope because we know if we read the scriptures, and you can go back and look at 1 Corinthians 15 or in 1 Thessalonians in the whole of that book and also in 2 Thessalonians. It talks a lot about this, that we will be reunited when Jesus comes again. Those that have died will be raised. And we will be raised up to be with them in Jesus Christ. And it paints a picture of that hope and what it's going to look like when Jesus comes again. It is a glorious picture. It is hope in the future. That is a great weapon of ours, that hope. Love is another weapon. Who is love? God is love. God is our weapon. He is love. And love we can speak for days on end and end and end. If you look at what love is in the scriptures, love is an incredible weapon. Another one would be obviously the Word of God. In Ephesians 6, when you look at the armor of God, the Word of God is the only one that's actually used as a way to attack. And that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And guess who used the sword of the Spirit against Satan when he tempted him? Jesus. When he was tempted 3 times in the desert, the Word of God. Prayer. Ephesians 6, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Again and again, Apostle Paul encourages us to pray constantly. If you're anxious, what's the first thing you do? You pray. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will fill our hearts and minds. Prayer is the most powerful weapon. We come to God with these issues. And the last one I'm going to bring up today is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said he had to go into heaven to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in us, to seal us. Is the Holy Spirit, and what does he do? The Holy Spirit points us towards Jesus. He reminds us of all Jesus said and taught. The Holy Spirit. These are merely a few of those weapons that I can speak about so that you understand. This is not a war of the flesh. And so what is our strategy? Again, these verses speak about the strategy. Ah, I see we've got the slides up there. All right, if we go to the next slide. Let's look at our weapons and how we use those weapons. Well, number one in these verses is we demolish. And the next one says, we take captive. So there are two things that we can do. We demolish and we take captive. And the first thing is we demolish those arguments. We demolish those strongholds. Now those toxic trees that you see in your mind, they can be melted down. They can actually be melted down. The scientists have actually seen and proven that those horrible, toxic trees that are actually in our subconscious here can physically be melted down and replaced. Isn't that joyful? As scientists now, so many thousands of years in the future now, are saying, wow, okay, yeah, there is hope. Well, how do we do that? First, we need to acknowledge the stronghold. Many times, a lot of people, they don't even know they have a stronghold. If they cannot bring that stronghold to their minds, you can't fight that stronghold. God did not say he will fight this battle for you. He said, I've given you weapons. I've given you everything you need to overcome. We need to also act upon it. Now, how do we do that? Of course, we don't do that in our own power and our own might, but we do it with the Spirit of God. We ask God, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, what are these enemy strongholds in my mind? Please point them out to me. Ask the Holy Spirit, and I can guarantee you he will. And then you bring them to your conscious mind and you demolish them with divine, powerful weapons that I've just shown you of God. But you do not do this unless you're in the presence of God. You come to God with these things. Now, the doctors again are saying that the worst thing that you can possibly do when bad thoughts come to your mind is to push them away. They say that is actually the worst thing you can do. Why? Because you have now forced that negative thought to be planted as a toxic tree in your subconscious mind. It's still there. It's going to haunt you. If you do not forgive someone, whenever you think of that person, what happens? Suddenly you're angry with your wife because she said something to remind you of that guy. She had nothing to do with it. No problem. Why? And she's going, what happened there? You know what? I didn't do anything. You know what? Yep. You have a stronghold, people. You need to understand it. And so the scientists even say we need to bring that into our conscious mind. And then we need to address it with the Word of God. We need to bring it in prayer to God. And in fact, they say bad habits take at least 21 days to melt away. To change a bad habit. That's actually how long they tell you need to fight this battle. If you have a serious stronghold, it doesn't go away in a moment. So forgiving a person does take time for some people. And understand that is no normal process. But every time you address it with the Word of God. Against strongholds of pessimistic thoughts and depression, we ask God, the Holy Spirit, to bring what caused that depression to our minds. And we demolish it with the hope of eternal life. And we ask God to strengthen our faith in his promises. Against the stronghold of fear, we ask God to bring what is causing that fear to the front of our minds. And we demolish it with love. Against the stronghold of insecurity, we ask God to bring what is causing that to mind, and we demolish it by meditating upon the truths of our identity in Christ, and ask God to make this a permanent foundation in our minds. God talked about strongholds, his strongholds, and those strongholds, you will see in a moment, they look like beautiful, luscious, gorgeous trees in our minds. The second part, the first is to demolish these strongholds that are already in our minds. The second part, he says there, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We capture. So we demolish and we capture. I remember that alcoholic example I gave you earlier on. When did I start to sin? When did I actually sin, really? Did I sin when I glugged down that bottle of alcohol? Or had I already committed to that sin the moment I walked out of the office? And I decided that I was not going to take that straight road home where there was no alcohol and decided, in fact, to take the long road. And eventually I landed up in sin. It stops in the beginning. And so take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Had I right then taken that thought and say, Lord, I'm being tempted to go the wrong way. Help me. He will help us to take the right path. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And the last part of our strategy, so the first is to demolish the strongholds. The second is to take captive every thought. And the last one here, which is most important, is a focus. A focus on who? As it says there, to the obedience of Christ. We make every thought, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We submit to God first. Don't try to fight this. Many people I know, psychologists also say this. They say, you bring it to your mind, deal with it with positive thoughts and that. As Christians, we do not fight this battle alone. We fight it with the power of God. They are His weapons. We need God with us to destroy those strongholds. We need Him with us to cause our minds not to deviate and to stay with Him. So submit yourselves to God. And of course, Apostle Paul there says in Colossians 2, verses 2 to 4, he says that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. All the wisdom and knowledge is in Jesus Christ. It is to Him whom we submit. Focus must be on Jesus. And so to conclude today, there is a battle. There is a battle going on. We need to acknowledge that. It's not a battle of this world. Satan's strategy is to take our eyes off of Jesus and build these strongholds of His in our minds. And as we have seen, they actually form real estate in our brains that are toxic and look like dreadful burnt trees. We ask, can we destroy these toxic trees? Can we destroy these strongholds? Yes, by the grace of God, we can. And remember that God did not say He's going to fight these battles for us, but that He's given us everything we need to win this battle. And He asks us, He desires us to walk with Him, and that we don't do it on our own. This battle starts and it finishes with a pure focus on Jesus. Those here today who do not believe in Jesus, He is knocking on your hearts right now. He wants you to live a victorious life, free of sin. Start today. Start now. After the service, there are going to be people that can pray with you. Come forward. Start that journey with Jesus. You will never regret it. He is an awesome God. And He has the power to transform your minds and your brains and overcome the suffering that you face. For those who are Christians, who believe in Jesus, again, I remind us that it starts and ends with a pure focus on Jesus. We have been given divine and wonderful weapons that can destroy these strongholds, that can keep us in the faith. We looked at some of those weapons: faith, hope, love, the Word of God, prayer, the Holy Spirit, to mention a few. And when we sense Satan beginning to take our thoughts away from Jesus towards ungodly thought, we immediately take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we stop the enemy from building any other strongholds in our minds. Are you willing to act now? You see the picture? Now you can see the picture. The one on the left-hand side is a picture of what Satan has built in our minds. These are the strongholds and what it actually looks like. They are toxic. They cause suffering. They cause disease. They are not healthy. On the right-hand side are those thoughts of God. In fact, when you memorize, they have proved that when you memorize the Word of God and you act out of love, it builds the trees on the right-hand side. So I ask again, what is your decision here today? Are you motivated to melt down the toxic trees in your minds? Are you willing to demolish what Satan has built in your minds? Are you willing to take every thought captive to Christ? Are you ready to demolish and capture and build healthy, Christ-focused trees in your minds? The decision is yours.